Melissa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Melissa Walker Campbell.
We have got a great show straight ahead as we are hitting on a variety of subjects this weekend. Big news that I definitely want to discuss is for the first time in its 80-year history, Augusta National Golf Club has female members. Of course, it is home of the Masters. It had received a significant amount of criticism in the last decade because of its all-male membership. But that changed last week when it was announced that Augusta invited former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and South Carolina financier Darla Moore to become the first women in green jackets. For me personally, that's good news. I mean, women are continuing to make great strides in our country, and I am so delighted to welcome back to our show a woman of influence. She has truly lived a life of firsts. She is one of the greatest women's basketball players to step onto the court. She's a Hall of Famer. She's an Olympian. She's the first woman to serve as a head coach of a professional men's team. Of course, the Texas Legends. And let's not forget her most important title. She is a mom, too. It is always a pleasure to welcome in Nancy Lieberman. And Nancy, what was your initial reaction when you heard the announcement that Augusta National had added two female members?
Well, as I've told people before, obviously I was thrilled to hear that, you know, there were going to be some women invited to play. But on one hand, it was kind of a little backhanded because here we're complimenting somebody on doing the right thing, and they should have been doing this for years. And, you know, that was my point when I did the, you know, the opinion piece for Fox News.
Yeah, and you talked about that in that particular piece, that, you know, you're a woman that respects men. I mean, they've been extraordinary to you in your career, and they've made a big difference. So, I mean, this is a milestone for women, but I have to tell you, it's astonishing that it has taken this long for them to make this decision.
It is, and I think the thing, if you really take a look at it, it's, shouldn't we all just, you know, be kind and be giving and support people in any walk of life? I mean, does it really make you feel that important if you're this committee at Augusta that you have the power to keep people out of certain areas of life? I mean, it's crazy to me that in 2012 people would still, that is the ego. You know, I get to determine who gets to play here and who does not get to play here. And I'm sort of more open-minded to, you know, give people an opportunity to do what they do, and we should be empowering people and not segregating people.
I mean, Augusta National, it is a private club. I've heard that argument, but it hosts the Masters. And I think, Nancy, it's important for us to remember, I mean, this is professional golf's premier event. And every spring, hey, it's not just the guys or the men that are out there celebrating the sport, but it's us women, too.
It's a private club with national ramifications.
Yes.
And I think they realized that when, you know, a lot of their sponsors were boycotted. And, you know, people recognized that, you know what you're doing is not right. If you want to have your own boys' club, okay, so be it. But then don't expect national sponsors to align themselves with you if you're really not for everybody. And I think the beginning and the end of it is I'm happy that women are now a part of Augusta. I hope that the brain trust there absolutely understands that whatever they have in life, it's not theirs, it's temporal. And we should always, you know, our legacy is, you know, what we do for other people, how we help other people. And I think that's important. I mean, I'd rather be remembered for being a great person than a great basketball player. not somebody who used my power and influence to keep people out of certain areas.
Absolutely. Nancy Lieberman is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. She is a Basketball Hall of Famer, an Olympian, the assistant general manager for the Texas Legends. And Nancy, let me just share, you know, in 2007, I was at the Masters with my family and we watched Zach Johnson win it all. And, you know, I kept thinking as I was out walking the course about the LPGA and you know, women that have accomplished and given so much to this sport. And, you know, I wonder what their thoughts and emotions were that, you know, they'd perhaps go and attend the event and the tournament, but they couldn't be a part of it.
Well, you know what? I agree 100% with you, but I wonder what the wives of those men who didn't want women, what do you say to your wife?
Yeah.
I sort of respect you. I sort of think it's cool that you're a part, but I don't want you to have equality. And that's really not a good, healthy message to send to your wife, to your family, and people that are influencers. I mean, that to me is just goes directly against what we should be doing for people, and I'll leave it at that.
Nancy Lieberman with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We're going to hit on a variety of topics. And just one more thing about the Masters is that, you know, when I was out there, I have to make this admission. I mean, it really wasn't, I don't like to be critical, but man, it just wasn't family friendly. I mean, I had a 6-month-old at the time. And Nancy, they don't allow strollers. So try carrying a 6-month-old on your hip all day. It's not easy.
Well, I think that kind of falls in place with their mentality. It's not about anybody else except them. And so hopefully as time, you know, continues to march on, they will be open-minded to, you know, to doing things that are, you know, easier for the consumer, for the customer, for the fan, and for people in general.
Well, we can perhaps exhale a bit that finally the club is starting to demonstrate perhaps a true commitment to the game of golf and will impact it in a positive way. I'm just excited to see that, you know, golfing's most prestigious event, the Masters, that two women were finally able to shatter that glass ceiling. And Nancy, I want to segue right into this. I mean, we've got an exciting event coming up right here in the Metroplex. And since we are on the topic of golf, you've got a celebrity golf tournament that is just around the corners at one of my favorite golf courses, Glen Eagles Country Club in Plano. We were out there in the month of June for Cliff Harris's celebrity golf tournament.
So excited for the Nancy Lieberman and Jim Utley Foundations. We've teamed up for this inaugural golf tournament, as you mentioned, Glen Eagles Country Club in Plano. We're going to have just a slew of celebrities from, you know, former Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we have everybody from Billy Joe Dupree, Stephen Howard,
yeah.
Kevin Minch, Del Harris will be there, Spud Webb. I mean, I won't, like, release them all, but we're excited because the money goes to children. It goes to, you know, 100% of the money goes directly to the charity. And we're just helping kids in our community, and we love helping underprivileged children through the Nancy Lieberman and Jim Utley Foundations. So if you want to be a part of it, if you want to play, if you want to sponsor, if you want to do something kind, we'd be so grateful. And you can just go to nancylieberman.com, and all the information is there if you want to register to play or if you'd like to help on any other level. We'd be so grateful and appreciative.
You know, and that's one thing, Nancy, I've appreciated about you so much is that you're always partnering up to create a better future and to give back to those in need. Why is that so important to you?
You know, I didn't always understand philanthropy and helping. You know, I was the athlete growing up where, you know, everybody was kind of doing stuff for me. And then you sort of grow up in life and you realize it feels better to give than to take. And I've had great mentors. You know this. I've had guys from Muhammad Ali to Warren Buffett to Michael Jackson who really were incredible with their giving of not only of their money but their time. And it was genuine from the heart. As a matter of fact, today's Warren Buffett's birthday, and I had a chance to, you know, call over there and wish him a happy birthday.
Wow.
But these, you know, they taught me about giving. And that's our legacy. I mean, you know, I know this sounds morbid, but, you know, it's like 1958, that little hyphen and, you know, that question mark.
Yeah.
That little hyphen, you know, on the little tombstone, that's your legacy. That's what you did from that period of time to the time that, you know, you're ready to leave. What did you do? And I'm not taking my stuff with me. I'm not taking my house or my cars or my money with me. I want to be able to help other people. I've had a great life, and I want to help people to the best of my ability, and that's what the Nancy Lehman Foundation does. And we've built basketball courts, and we put books in schools, and we have reading programs, and we feed kids and clothe them, and we just gave 2,000 backpacks stuffed with school supplies to the school systems in Dallas and Frisco. And I have to tell you that I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm telling you with pure amazement and humility how it makes me feel.
Nancy Lieberman with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. She is a basketball Hall of Famer, an Olympian, one of the very best in the business. And Nancy, you have had so much success with the game of basketball as an entrepreneur in business. And I think back a few years ago, my son had the opportunity to attend your basketball camp, and you gave a very powerful testimony as the camp came to a close about, you know, coming from a single parent home and humble beginnings. And one of the things as well that I appreciate about you is you've never forgotten where you've come from, and you've always tipped your hat to your teachers and to your coaches, as, you know, they really instilled some incredible values in you and spent time with you.
I am very thankful and very grateful for all the people that have been in my life. I mean, I'm in New York City right now, and I've taken, you know, yesterday just to make sure that I was calling my childhood friends, people that I know and love, that I've known for a long time, and just to say, hey, hi, thank you, I'm in town, do you want to, you know, get something to eat, whether, you know, the U.S. Open's in town. I'm going to go this afternoon and see Martina. I went to the Yankee game the other night to see Joe Girardi. Is a very good friend and a humble man.
You love the Yankees.
Oh, my gosh. I believe the Yankees. I really do.
You do, yeah.
It's how people feel about the Cowboys because of their greatness and their tradition. And I really care about where I came from. It was a tough struggle in my childhood. But you can prove to people that if you really believe in yourself and you're willing to work hard, good things can happen to you. And it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Jewish, Christian, girl, boy. We have it within us. And that's what I try to share with people, that we do have the ability to go far beyond what we thought. And sometimes I sit here and I can't believe the things that have happened to me are actually me. It's really an odd feeling sometimes, but you know, I'm happy to be able to use the success that I have to inspire other people, and that's what I do. And I talk to Fortune 500 companies. I'm all over, you know, talking to, you know, on college campuses, businesses. My job is to inspire people to be better than they thought they could be, and then give them the steps to do it.
And what is that like for you? Because you had just shared, you know, that you spent time at Old Dominion. You had the opportunity to speak at the Basketball Hall of Fame. And, you know, what do you hear from so many of the fans as they reach out to you?
First of all, I'm telling you, I'm a very confident person. It chokes me up when men, grown men, successful men, say, you don't know what your words just meant, or, you know, 18-year-old students that are about to embark on a four-year, you know, academic career at Old Dominion. When I spoke on Sunday at the new student convocation to 4,000 freshmen at Old Dominion and their parents, and these strangers were hugging me, and, you know, there's this connection, and it doesn't matter if I'm sitting with Warren Buffett at his office and hanging out with him, or if I'm with a 15-year-old and they're saying thank you. I have to tell you this. When I was little, I was dead certain, as you know, I was supposed to be the greatest basketball player in the world. That was my goal. And later in life, I realized that there's like a bigger picture. And I'm telling you, there's no doubt God is using me in a different way than I could have ever imagined. And it's to inspire and to show people that you can be anything you want to be. Because people say to me, how do you know Warren Buffett? How do you know Bill Gates? How do you know Kevin Costner? How do you know Muhammad Ali? How do you know, how do you know, how do you know? And I go, I have no clue. I have no clue how I know some of these people, but I've met them. We've become friends. I adore them. You know, Jordan Sparks, I met a couple years ago through Muhammad Ali. Her movie just came out, Sparkle, and I tweeted something to her. And she tweeted me back. She goes, Nancy, I love you. Thank you so much for helping me. And I'm like, what the heck can I do to help Jordan Sparks?
Oh.
She says, you knew Whitney, and that meant everything to me. Mm. I mean, how do you know? You know, you just have to have honor and integrity and character and have it every day, always. And I tell my son, TJ, your reputation is not yours, but your character is, and you own it.
And we're going to talk about TJ here in just a little bit, but, you know, another story of inspiration, and I was so excited to see you last week at the AAC for the press conference for NBA veteran and a former Sooner standout, Eduardo Najera, who has retired from the NBA to coach the Texas Legends, the D-League affiliate for the Mavericks. This is a fantastic selection, another story, as I said, of inspiration, as he is the NBA's first Mexican-born head coach.
When we talk about the Texas Legends and the D-League, Donnie Nelson has to get a lot of love. Donnie Nelson is one of the most brilliant, passionate, kind people that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. I don't get to create history and be the first woman to coach a men's team in the NBA, you know, family, if Donnie Nelson doesn't have a leap of faith and hire me. Eddie Najera doesn't get to be the first Mexican-born coach slash owner slash front office personnel for the Dallas Mavericks if Donnie Nelson or Mark Cuban don't give you an opportunity. Life is about opportunity, relationships, and Eddie has proven to be consistent over time as a Sooner, as a 12-year NBA veteran, as a former, you know, second-round pick of the Dallas Mavericks. He handled himself with class, and here's that full circle of life. You finish being a player, and you put deposits in people. That's called equity, and he had equity excellence. And you come back. Eddie will own an NBA team one day. It could be 10, 12, 15 years from now, and there'll be a team in Mexico. And Eddie Najera will have done the GM work. He would have worked with Donnie and Mark on an NBA level. He's part owner now of the Legends. He will have coached. He will have done it all, and he will be well prepared for the next level of his career.
Well, Eduardo Najera, I will tell you this, Nancy, what I remember the most, you know, during his playing days at Oklahoma and playing for Kelvin Sampson. I mean, yes, he's very smart, the high basketball IQ, but I just loved his passion for the game and how, you know, he just busted his tail. You know, he'd pursue the ball, he'd go after those rebounds, and just a joy to watch, a pleasure to watch. And I think he's going to make, you know, a pretty seamless crossover and transition as a head coach. And as you're talking about, you know, when you've got a great support staff like Donnie Nelson, I mean, that's going to make a big difference.
Well, Eddie is really receptive. It's like he said to me.
Very humble.
Press conference. He is very humble. And, you know, humility is confidence. Arrogance is not confidence. You know, he looked at me and he goes, you're going to be around, right? You're going to be there, you and Dell. Because, you know, Dell's the GM,
right.
Assistant GM. And he goes, I have you, I have Dell, I have Donnie, I have Coach Carlisle. He says, there's so much I don't know about coaching, but there's such a wealth of information that is within my fingertips to know that you can reach out to people and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or until I get to a level where I understand it all, I'm going to lean on you guys. But that's Eddie. You know, I mean, look at Kurt Rambis, right? You know, he was that workmanlike, you know, guy that did all the dirty work.
Yeah.
Ended up being a head coach and assistant for many years with the Lakers and then with the Timberwolves, the head coach. Eddie can do this. Eddie can do whatever he wants, and he's a hero to his people because he's a hero to people like us, you know, on an everyday level.
You mentioned, Nancy, you know, being the head coach during your time, head coach of the Texas Legend, the first woman to ever do something. What was that experience like for you? I haven't had you on the show, and I wanted to talk to you about that.
I'll never forget it. It was crazy, wonderful, exciting, tremendous pressure and expectation. Because here's, you know, when you're first, there's no roadmap to success. You have to create the roadmap, but we had such a great infrastructure with the Legends in our front office staff to, you know, on the basketball court operations. And, you know, I had been a head coach before, so that certainly helps when you're putting your organization together. But I had great assistants, you know, David Wesley and Scott Fleming. The coolest thing for us was to be able, in year one, as an expansion team to make the playoffs. And quite frankly, that took some of the pressure off of me, because here we are, okay, the checklist of life, okay, Donnie Nelson hires a woman, super, we got that out of the way. Well, can the girl coach? So being able to get our team into the playoffs in year one was absolutely remarkable. And I still, I mean, I go around the league quite a bit, and coaches will come up to me. It could be Doc Rivers, it could be Alvin Gentry, it could be Coach Carlisle, it could be Vinny Del Negro, and they're like, man, that was unbelievable. I mean, we've had guys in the D-League for years who never got their teams to a playoff, and they're really accomplished. So I was very proud of that for our guys and for our organization, and personally, it was satisfying.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It is always a pleasure to catch up with the one and only Nancy Lieberman. And Nancy, one of the things when I was at that press conference, you came out and spoke at the mic, such an engaging guy and such a colorful personality. Talk to me about Del Harris. What is it like to spend time around this guy? He's a card.
Del's an encyclopedia. I mean, the guy knows everything. He's 70.
He's 75.
76 years old.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 50. He's in great shape. He can speak Spanish. He can speak Chinese. He's just, you know, Del's been a friend of mine for about 25 years. And, I mean, he's an amazing guy. Del Harris could be a head coach in the NBA right now if age was not held against him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about overcoming obstacles. I'm a girl. He's an old guy. I mean, we have a lot in common. You know, we joke around, man. We get discriminated against.
Uh-huh.
I go, yeah, but we're in the mix. We're in the mix, and that's a good thing.
Oh, I've got to get him on the show. I just know we'll have a great conversation. And as we get ready to close out our interview, Nancy, you're spending time up in New York, and I cannot believe this. We had a chance to catch up, but TJ, he's a grown guy now. He's got a full athletic scholarship playing basketball. Tell us about that. Last time I saw him, it seems like he was running around, you know, at the Big 12 Conference Tournament up in Kansas City.
Well, first and foremost, as you know, to the Sooner Nation, which we love.
Absolutely.
TJ Klein has, since he was 10 years old, his room is Sooner. It's a shrine to Sooners football, basketball. He just loves it. We love Joe Castiglione and, you know, Sherry Cole and Coach Stoops and Lon Crute. We love you guys, absolutely, and we'll always love you. TJ, we didn't know how good he was going to be. He wanted to play for the Sooners, and I'm sure everybody was like, okay, you know, well, you know, he's not that good. Well, we had a Jeremy Lin moment in my family where my kid went from 6'4 to 6'8.
Wow.
Made the varsity at Plano West last year, as you know. Was offensive player in the year of the state of Texas. Newcomer of the year in the state of Texas.
Wow.
Averaged 28.5 a game in the playoffs. He played that last game at the AAC, and he had 25. And then our phone blew up with coaches all over the country offering scholarships. And, you know, the one place he really wanted to go, and you guys really didn't have any scholarships at Oklahoma, you know, because of the probation and everything. And he didn't want to walk on. He really wanted to play. So he got 5 offers. And he went up to Niagara in New York, and he fell in love with the Purple Eagles, the coaches, and his teammate, his future teammates. And he accepted a full scholarship to go to Niagara. So that's why I'm in New York. I'm sort of migrating up. They've been driving from Dallas, his dad and TJ. So they should be in Niagara sometime late this evening. I'm flying up in the morning, and it'll be pure mom.
Well, you know, Nancy, and this is a time of transition for you. Empty nest, I mean, you're always on the go, always on the fly. But, I mean, my son started kindergarten this year, and it takes a lot for me to break down. I shed some few tears, but how hard is it for you to, you know, release your son? You know, you invest so much time in these little people, and then they grow up, and then they have their own life. I mean, that's got to be hard.
It is absolutely ridiculously emotionally hard, because most of your adult life you spend nurturing, taking care of, and being, you know, hopefully a great parent. And now he's 18, and it's time to let him go and to let him be the man he's going to be. Packing his room with him the other day in was so hard.
Yes.
And I've been choked up so many times. Mm. Or find myself driving and, you know, like having tears in my eyes. I can tell you Sunday is going to be a very happy, sad day when I have to leave and get on that airplane. Because, you know, like my son is the funniest kid I know. I genuinely in love being around TJ. It's not about my basketball cam anymore. It's about, where's TJ? Where's TJ? I'm like, hey, kid, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know, Miss Nancy. Where's TJ?
Oh.
So he's just like, he's the big prize at camp for all the campers. They love him. He's gone to camp since he was 4, and now he's going.
Well, you are an amazing mom, and I look forward to catching up in our next conversation, and perhaps we'll have some more TJ stories to share. But Nancy, share with all of our listeners, where are we going to be able to catch you this fall and winter? We're looking forward to this. Can you make some news for us?
I can make some news for you.
Come on, girl.
You know, the assistant general manager for the Legends. I'll be at our Legends games, but I am going to be in studio.
Yay!
For the Oklahoma City Thunder. I am your studio host.
Really?
For 70 regular season games and then the playoffs. And I'm excited to say that I'll be a part of Fox Sports Southwest. And I'm really proud to be able to be in the studio for the Thunder games.
Well, and you have a long-standing relationship with them, and I'm sure they're glad to have you back on board. And so, Nancy, we look forward. We're going to be watching the Mavs. I don't know if we'll get any of those Fox Sports Oklahoma telecasts, but I'm sure you'll be fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, and you're just great, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Nancy. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead as we're getting ready to talk about your Dallas Cowboys. We will be right back.